The Old Testament reading this evening comes from the prophet Micah, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 2nd verse. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel comes to us according to St. Luke, the 2nd chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And this is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, so far in our Advent series, we have looked at a number of prophecies. We've seen how the prophecy of Jesus came at the very beginning, when sin first entered into God's perfect creation and destroyed so many things, and how that prophecy was repeated over and over and over. And as new details emerged that showed exactly what Jesus would do, that he would come to be our Savior. And so, when we look at these things, when we consider how Jesus had been foretold for so long and in so many ways, you kind of have to ask the question, how in the world could his birth possibly have been a surprise to anyone? I mean, God had spoken so often, so clearly, so frequently, had given so many different details. How could anyone have been shocked to find out that the virgin who gave birth in Bethlehem was the mother of the Messiah? I mean, think about that. Micah, in our reading today, tells exactly where Jesus would be born, in Bethlehem. The one who had been foretold from ancient days, the one who would be a ruler, who would be the peace of his people. Micah points out the town by name and says, you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are going to be the town. And then you think about Isaiah chapter 7, where God tells us through the prophet Isaiah that the virgin will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Is that not clearly, explicitly, about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, the incarnate Messiah? Multiple prophecies said over and over again that Jesus would be a descendant of David, which Joseph was, Mary was, and so he clearly fulfilled that prophecy too. And so how in the world was the world taken by surprise, since Jesus' birth had been foretold in such great detail for so long? How could that possibly be? As a kid, my grandma loved puzzles, and we loved doing puzzles with her. And there was one puzzle I remember that someone gave to her, kind of as a joke, because they knew that she was a puzzle fanatic and wanted to challenge her. And it was one that came in a plain brown box with about 5 billion pieces to it or something. There was no picture to go by. It was just a pile of pieces. And we had no clue what the picture was supposed to be. And so we just had to kind of try to piece things together as best we could. Of course, you start with the edges because that's where you always start. But we had no idea what we were making. Was this maybe a little bit of a cloud or maybe the back end of a sheep? Was this a skyscraper or a loaded gun or what in the world is this picture going to turn out to be? And so we would just grab a piece and hunt and search and try to see where in the world it's going to go. Well, as we got farther along, the picture started to take shape. And we realized we had been putting the puzzle together sideways. What we thought was the bottom was the left side of the frame. And once we realized that, things made a lot more sense. But it wasn't until we knew what the full picture was kind of supposed to look like that we actually had a proper idea of how all these things were going to fit together. Well, Jesus' birth was kind of like that. We are blessed to be able to look back in history and to see all the little details, all those verifiable historical facts, and to know how they fit in, how they fulfilled the prophecies that had been spoken for so long. We look back at what Isaiah said and said, clearly that's about Jesus. Mary was a virgin. He was God with us. That's about Jesus, and this is how it was fulfilled. But imagine before Jesus' birth, before you had the full picture, before you knew exactly where all the pieces were supposed to go. Before his birth, many of the pieces just didn't seem like they could possibly fit together and make a coherent picture. I mean, think about this. There is a prophecy that Jesus would be from Galilee. And there was a prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And there was a prophecy that God would call his son out of Egypt. Now to us, that all makes perfect sense because we know the life of Jesus. Conceived in Nazareth, was a Galilean, that was his hometown. Born in Bethlehem because Mary and Joseph had to travel there for the census. Fled to Egypt when Herod tried to kill Jesus, so God called him out of Egypt. That makes perfect sense to us. But for those who don't know Jesus, that sounds like a lot of contradictory gobbledygook. Because you don't get to have three hometowns unless you're Jesus. Think about this. How could Jesus be Emmanuel, God in the flesh? That was foretold for so long. And yet it was also foretold that he would suffer and die. Something that God should not be able to do. Now again, we know exactly how that played out. That God took on human flesh to take our place beneath the law, to suffer and die on the cross, to rise again from the grave. But without knowing about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that makes no sense and just does not seem possible. All these little things that we look back at and say, well, obviously that's how it fits. So many people did not have the full picture like we do. And so for them to be surprised, for them to be shocked, is no surprise to us. In fact, all the details that God had foretold about the coming Messiah, for many people, they may well have caused more confusion than clarity. To have all of these details and all of these pieces and all of these little tidbits about who Jesus would be, how he would be born, what he would do. Not that God was wrong to reveal so much. Far from it. It was a gracious gift that God foretold Jesus' birth and life and work and salvation and all these things in such great deal, in great detail. It was a blessing, especially as we are able to look back and see how Jesus fulfilled hundreds of prophecies perfectly. But sin is always a factor. And sin blinds us to even the most obvious of truths revealed by God. Sin makes us doubt and question and say, I'm pretty sure that's not possible. Even if God says it is. Sin makes us want to force the pieces together in a way that will never, ever, ever work. Sin makes us trust our own intellect and our own intelligence so that we try to shoehorn God's prophecies into the picture that we want them to make rather than letting the pieces fall where they actually lie. So now we ask the question the other way. With all these details, with all these things that just seem completely impossible to fulfill, how could someone have possibly known who Jesus was when there were so many pieces that didn't seem to fit together? How could anybody at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ boldly proclaim, "Here is the Messiah, the promised one who fulfills all of these prophecies"? Well, they did it the same way that we ourselves know about Jesus today. They and we trust in the word of the Lord God. They and we had faith to trust that God's ways are far better than ours and that we are not going to understand everything that God does. If we understood every little thing, then, well, we would be the ones in control. We would be the ones who know more than God. We would be the ones who could say, "Oh, clearly this is the way that I wanted it to happen." But that's not the case. We don't always get it. We don't always see the full picture. We don't always see how the pieces go together. Sometimes we think we've got a whole sack of pieces that just got stuck in the wrong box somehow. But no, God's way works. And we trust Him because we know that God is our loving Heavenly Father. God is not going to lead us astray with His Word. God does not purposely give us red herrings and a whole bunch of details that seem to clash just to amuse Himself and so He can go, "Ooh, let's see what they do with this one." In fact, it's not even up to us to put all the pieces together. It's not up to us to get them all in the right place or solve some sort of messianic riddle in order for things to work out. Because if it was, guess what? We're lost. Because we will never understand it. We will never get it. We will always try to do it our own way. And so in faith, we trust in the Lord. And we believe what He says. Even if it doesn't seem to make any sense to us, even if it seems absolutely impossible, when God says it, we trust it. And by that faith, we rejoice to know just who Jesus is and just what He has done for us. By the Word of God, we know without a doubt that Jesus truly is the promised Messiah, the fulfillment of every one of those prophecies that had been foretold. Even when it seemed impossible, Jesus fulfilled them perfectly. We know that He came to us as God in the flesh. We know that He took our place beneath His own righteous wrath, even though that doesn't make any sense to us. We know that He gave Himself up to death in order to pay the penalty of our sins, so that we poor, miserable sinners who hated God could be restored as His children and live forever with Him in His paradise. And we know that in doing that, Jesus suffered greatly. He suffered pain and agony and torment like we could never imagine. But in doing so, He crushed the serpent's head. And He broke the devil's chokehold on all mankind. And when He rose from the grave, as it was foretold, we know that He opened the gates of heaven to all those who believe in Him, no matter how great their sin may have been. We know that all those who repent of their sin, all those who look to Jesus Christ in faith, who see Him as their Savior from sin, death, and the devil, they will be with Him forever. We know all of this, not because we put the pieces together, not because we cracked the Bible code, not because of anything that we've done, actually in spite of all that we've done. We know it because it has been foretold and fulfilled in the birth, life, death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of every prophecy, of every little detail, of every glorious revelation that God gave to us about how He would save us from the devil. And so as we look back to all of these prophecies surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ, we give thanks to God for His steadfast word and promises. We give thanks that He foretold so much to give us such a clear picture of who Jesus would be and what He would do. We give thanks that He faithfully kept His word and fulfilled each and every one of those promises. But most of all, we give thanks that He Himself has given us faith to believe in those promises, to cling to them even when they don't seem to make any earthly sense. Because that word is our salvation. And without it, we are lost and condemned creatures because of our sin. But our loving Heavenly Father, in great detail, foretold that Jesus would come to us to take away the guilt of our sin. And He fulfilled each and every detail perfectly. And because He did, because He crushed the devil's head, because He came to us as our Savior, we have confidence, knowing that we have been restored as God's beloved children, knowing that He is the promised Messiah, the fulfillment of everything that had been foretold. We know, because of God's word, that by the cross and the empty tomb of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.